It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Kate Archer Kent. Vice President Kamala Harris was in West Allis yesterday for her first campaign rally since President Biden announced on Sunday that he was dropping out of the race.
So, Wisconsin, I am told as of this morning that we have earned the support of enough delegates to secure the Democratic nomination.
Harris has been on a political roll since Sunday, racking up endorsements from key Democratic leaders, including former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, current House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and Wisconsin's governor and its congressional Democrats.
But Republicans have questions about the legal and procedural aspects of replacing a presidential nominee after the primary election season is over. So we're going to get some clarification and talk about what to expect in the coming weeks and months. Our guest, Barry Burden, is professor of political science and director of the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. And Barry, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Let's start with the central role that Wisconsin has played in this presidential race in the last month, Barry, and what we've seen with the RNC convention here last week, but also with the what the Democratic Party's done in Wisconsin since the debate between President Biden and former President Donald Trump, and yesterday with Kamala Harris in West Allis.
Well, I think there's no doubt Wisconsin is the center of the political universe this election year. You know, when after Biden's troubles in the debate, the place he chose to go to try to resuscitate his campaign was Madison. Once Kamala Harris became the presumptive nominee, the place she decided to go was to West Allis to do a rally yesterday. And then in between those two events was the RNC in Milwaukee for 4 days last week. So both parties certainly have their sights trained on this state. And it's been such a roller coaster ride. It's really amazing that just last Thursday, Republicans were on top of the political world. Trump had given his acceptance speech. He'd chosen J.D. Vance as a running mate. He was 4 days, 5 days out from an assassination attempt on top of the polls. And we expected this week that new polls would be released after the convention showing that Trump was even further ahead of Biden than he was going into the convention. But Biden's departure from the race and Harris taking his place essentially has really reset the campaign. And I think we're in for a different kind of experience the next 100 days than we have been for the past few months.
What do you make of the Democratic Party so quickly coalescing around Vice President Kamala Harris's candidacy?
Well, it's a party that wants to win and had been really demoralized by the state of things and maybe hadn't come to full grips with how unenthusiastic the supporters were for Joe Biden. I mean, the polls certainly showed people concerned about his age and abilities and more enthusiasm on the Republican side for Trump than on the Democratic side for Biden. But I think once he stepped aside, what Democrats were holding in became apparent. I mean, they have been jubilant for the last few days, raising something like $150 million in about the last 2.5 days, and Harris having a really good start to the campaign.
The vice president is not the Democratic nominee yet, though some have started to employ the word presumptive when talking about Harris. What should we know about the party's rules for making this official?
Yeah, there's a lot of misunderstanding out there about what the primaries do and did and whether Biden is being pulled off the ballot and his name being replaced. You know, Biden was never on the ballot. He's not the nominee of the party, and he was never the nominee of the party in 2024. He was the only guy who really won any delegates this year because most of the primaries and caucuses were uncontested, and most of the delegates who were selected in those processes were loyal to Biden as leader of the party. But they had not actually voted on a nominee. And the rules of the Democratic National Convention are that the delegates, about 4,000 people from the states in DC and the territories, come together and choose a nominee. And the way you become the nominee of the party is to win a majority of the delegates. So they had not yet voted for Biden or anyone else and haven't yet voted for Harris, though a majority of them have now announced they're in favor of her. So the delegates will meet probably online and then again in person in Chicago to do a roll call vote. My guess is that Harris will win the overwhelming majority. It doesn't look like there are any serious competitors at this point. And it's only then that she becomes the nominee and can be slotted into the state ballots starting in late August or early September.
Barry Burden, how could another Democratic candidate at this point challenge Kamala Harris?
Well, the DNC rules do allow for it. What has to happen is a candidate has to agree to run. And then the delegates need to, supporting that person need to circulate petitions and gather at least 300 signatures of the delegates. Again, there are about 4,000 delegates total, so it's a little less than 10% of delegates would need to sign on. It would be a big move for another Democrat, a prominent Democrat, to try to challenge Harris at this point. Marianne Williamson, who ran briefly for president in 2020 and 2024, has said she's interested. It's not clear whether she can get the 300 signatures she needs. You know, those delegates would really be putting their reputations and their necks on the line to sign a petition publicly for a candidate other than Harris at this point. So it's allowed by the rules, but I think the party has circled its wagon sufficiently that it's unlikely that she'll be challenged in any serious way.
Barry Burden, professor of political science and director of the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison, our guest. And Barry, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson has questioned the legality of Democrats replacing President Biden for Vice President Harris and says it might disenfranchise primary voters who have already cast their ballots. What do you make of this argument?
Well, this is something that parties do. They challenge one another, even if there aren't good legal grounds. It puts the other party on the defensive and raises some questions about what they're doing. You know, Johnson and Republicans have said they think there's doubt about whether Harris can be put on the ballot at this point, that it's maybe disenfranchising of primary voters. They've also questioned whether she can inherit the campaign money that Biden and Harris have collected over the past some months. I don't think either one of those legal challenges is going to be successful. The state ballot, in terms of state ballots, the deadlines have not passed yet. All of the states essentially accept whoever the Democrats choose as their nominee at the convention. There will be some disgruntled Democrats who were really enthusiastic about Biden and voted for him in the primary and are now sad to see him step aside. But those delegates were never legally bound to him. They were only pledged in a kind of fidelity to him. But now that he has stepped aside and released his delegates, they're free to do what they want. It's really not different than, say, the delegates who were bound to Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley on the Republican side. Both of them stepped down last week as candidates and released their delegates. They spoke at the convention, and so their delegates were free to vote for Donald Trump. So these are just the rules of how parties operate, and I don't think Johnson or Republicans are going to be successful in those legal challenges.
Barry, so as you mentioned before, it sounds like the delegates may vote in a virtual process that finishes well before the Democratic convention August 19th. What would this virtual process look like?
We don't know. It really has never been done before, other than the kind of virtual roll call we saw in the online conventions 4 years ago during the pandemic. But those happened during the normal convention time. You know, Democrats moved up their roll call process because they were concerned that a state or two had very early ballot access deadlines and the convention wouldn't happen in time. And Ohio in particular was where they were worried. Ohio has now changed this law, but they've kept the possibility of the online roll call. There are still a couple of states. Washington State is another where the deadline is a little out of whack with the timing of the convention. So they will be meeting, I think, today to set some rules about the online vote if it happens. They have said that it will occur in the next 2 weeks by August 7th. So that might be the formal vote that actually chooses Harris as the nominee. Then there will probably be some kind of ceremonial vote at the convention, and she will choose a running mate who will be ratified probably at that point. So it looks a little different this year than in the past.
Does that mean that the rules for nominating have changed for this party?
Not really. They may make some slight changes to the rules, but it really still boils down to the 4,000 delegates choosing the nominee. A person needs to have 300 signatures to be nominated, so Harris will still have to gather those. There's a roll call of the states in essentially an alphabetical order. That can be online or in person. They did it online 4 years ago, and this time it may be a kind of hybrid. So the timing is a little different because of the concerns Democrats had about state election ballot deadlines. But I don't think it's fundamentally a change in how the party operates.
So what we've seen over the past few days puts our election, it seems like, on a short track, election season on a short track to Election Day. But as you pointed out on social media, Barry, other democracies have these short election seasons, too. Tell us a little bit how we're actually in good company here.
Yeah, this is sort of a fun aspect of all of this. It's not really a brand new campaign, but Harris as the nominee is a surprise this week. And so she will have essentially a 3.5 month presidential campaign and will choose a running mate to be on the ticket with her. That's more on the scale of the length of campaigns in other countries. The UK elections, which just happened a few weeks ago, you know, that was a campaign that unfolded just in weeks. Canadian elections in the country to our north, typically just a few weeks. Other Anglo democracies have similar kinds of systems. So even a 100-day campaign, which is what we're in now, is longer than most other countries, but it does give Americans at least a taste of what could happen if we chose to shorten the campaign season in some way.
Well, what about that vice presidential nominee for Kamala Harris? As you write on social media, we know who it won't be, but that might be about it.
Yeah, it won't be Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, although he would very much like to be on a national ticket. The Constitution doesn't allow electors from that state to vote for two candidates who are from the same state. So that would prevent the Democrats from winning electors in California. It looks to be one of about 4 or 5 governors or senators. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota is on that list. Andy Beshear, governor of Kentucky, is there. Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona. Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania. So these are mostly elected officials in the states, not really Washington fixtures, white men, I think entirely, and probably someone from a swing state. There's at least interest in looking at people from places like Arizona and Georgia. So this is a decision for her to make, and it's probably the most single important thing she will do over the next couple of weeks.
Barry, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Barry Burton, professor of political science and director of the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. Talked with him about Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign stop in West Dallas yesterday, her first since President Joe Biden announced he was exiting the race and endorsing her to be the Democratic nominee. Also clarifying some legal and procedural questions that have come up about how Harris might earn that nomination and how her campaign could be funded.